Craig, still reliable as ever. Instant.
Craig is so clutch. I love me some Craig. Speaking of love and in a time of need, it's episode 68, TH Fantasy. I'm Tony. Ryan's here. Craig is here.
Hell yeah, Tony. 68.
I got to give a shout out.
Guess what? Hold on. Guess what next week's episode is going to be?
You're right. This is more important. It's 69, baby. It's
69.
Nice.
And how ironic is it on a weekend where we have no football?
Couldn't have written it better ourselves, dude.
Yep.
Even though, who knows if we have the number right? Who knows if this is actually...
That's true. What do you got for a shout out? What were you going to say?
Yeah, I got a shout out. So one of my mom's friends, Kitty, like texted me. I haven't talked to her in a decade. And she's like, I had to almost pull over on 294. I was laughing so hard about the suppositories.
She's listening to the podcast?
Yeah, I told you, dude. I'm like, yeah, you know, our parents listen to this. I stuck weed up my butt.
I don't think my parents have listened to that episode yet. I'm pretty sure I'd get a text right away.
I know. Like, it's got me feeling some type of way. So let's go on to our 68s of the week. You said you got a couple shout outs. I got a play I want to talk about, and we'll end with you. So give us your quick hits first.
Yeah, okay. So let's shout out to Mr. LC Greenwood.
Ooh, what a name. Yeah,
right? Selected in the 10th round, 1969, by the Pittsburgh Steelers. He, you know, was a part of that Steeler team that won all the Super Bowls.
Was he a lineman?
Yes, defensive end.
Oh, okay, so he was part of the Steel Curtain.
Yep.
Okay.
In Super Bowl IX against the Vikings, he batted down two passes. The next year against Dallas Cowboys, he sacked Roger Staubach four times.
Is this your second or third member of the Steel Curtain? Because you did Jack Ham.
Yeah, I've done two or three. Yeah,
this might you did be... a safety. I thought too.
Maybe. I'd have to go back and look at the notes.
Sure.
But yeah, shout out to Mr. LC Greenwood, part of the Steelers teams that won all those Super Bowls.
Steel Curtain. That was a fucking legendary defense. LC Greenwood also, like, I feel like LC Greenwood would be the name of, like, a dude that put a record out on Motown. You know?
Yeah, probably.
LC Greenwood and the Shakers.
He was... Oh, yeah. Okay. So he was known for wearing gold-colored shoes on the field.
Okay.
To help the announcers distinguish him from the high-profile Joe Green.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He was also called Hollywood Bags because he was an aspiring actor after he retired.
Hollywood Bags?
Yeah. I don't know where bags come from, but yeah. Hollywood. They call him Hollywood Bags.
These are my Hollywood bags.
All the players would, you know, tease him, call him Hollywood Bags.
HB. I love that. That's a great nickname. It's not quite like Fudge Hammer, but right. Hollywood Bags is up there.
Yep. So the next shout out I want to do is to Mr. Gale Gillingham.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
He has a connection to someone we talked about earlier, Fuzzy Thurston. He played alongside Fuzzy Thurston.
Oh.
He played all 10 seasons in Green Bay.
Wow.
Yeah. The last member of the Lombardi era Packers to be active with the franchise.
Damn.
Yep. When he retired, Bart Starr was the head coach.
So if LC Greenwood was Hollywood Bags, is this guy Cheese Bags?
I think it's Cheese Puffs.
Cheese Puffs. Hollywood Bags and Cheese Puffs.
Yep. He's actually you would like this. He's one of the first players in the NFL to use weight training to stay in shape during the offseason.
Oh, he realized the secret formula of lifting weights might make you a better athlete.
And everyone was like, hey, look what this guy's doing. Hey, we should do that too.
He's a pioneer.
Right?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, shout out to Gil Gillingham.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. We got fucking Hollywood Bags and Cheese Puffs. All right, All right, I'm ready. Here we go. Last week, I did the 67-yard Keith Trailer interception return.
Yeah.
And I wanted to extend my streak of doing weird individual plays. All right?
Okay.
So before we get into the play itself, let's take a look at a guy named Reggie Hodges this week.
Reggie Hodges. Okay.
Reggie Hodges was a punter who grew up in Champaign, Illinois, relatively local boy.
Okay.
He punted. He was a college punter at Ball State University, of course, because if you grow up in the town of U of I, you play college football at Ball State for some reason.
Sure.
Drafted in the sixth round of the 2005 NFL draft by the St. Louis Rams. He's a punter. He was all MAC as a punter in college.
Damn, all MAC. That's sick.
Oh yeah, dude. He was, and you know, if you're a punter in the MAC, you're punting a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So he doesn't find a ton of success in the league. He had a bunch of his punts blocked. He had a bad, like, low average per punt. And as a result, man, so he played for the Rams, Philly, the Colts, Seattle, New England, and the Jets, Tennessee, and Cleveland.
What the hell? Jesus.
So most of the time he'd either play a game or two, like a spot, like a punter off the street.
Sure.
And get waived, or he was like a training camp body that got cut before the season. There would be times where it's like, oh, he was on Seattle's preseason camp, got cut, and didn't play that year. But then, like, the next year he'd play.
Sure.
He got his last chance with the Browns after punter Dave Zastadil was injured.
That's such a great name, too.
Right?
Zastadil?
Dave Zastadil. So Hodges fills in. He's, you know, Zastadil's out with surgery. Hodges comes in. He doesn't heal properly. So in August, the Browns put him on IR again. So Hodges becomes the starting punter, right? So October 24th, 2010, Reggie Hodges is in to punt, and they're playing the defending Super Bowl champ New Orleans Saints in New Orleans. Ball's on the 22-yard line, 4th and 7. Cleveland's up 10-3. Hodges steps back to punt, and oh man, New Orleans is in return coverage. All of the rushers are going to the right side of the field. Cleveland's protectors, instead of holding and waiting for the kick, sprint after those guys as Reggie fucking Hodges catches the snap and sprints right up the middle through a hole that was like 8 yards wide.
Hell yeah.
All right. So he's at his own 45. He jukes the punt returner, Lance Moore, which is hilarious. He gets chased down by the gunners and makes it all the way to the 10-yard line before being tackled. One of the guys on punt coverage that he outran was a rookie, Jimmy Graham.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When the smoke was cleared, Reggie Hodges had set an NFL record 68-yard rush. Not Damn. Only is this the longest rush in the history of the league for a kicker or punter, this rush, which was the only one of Hodges' career, made him 10th on the NFL's all-time list of rushing yards for punters.
Damn.
Right? So,
that's sick.
The number one most punt return yard or most rushing yards by a punter is by Tom Yewcik, Yewcik. So it's, who knows if I'm even close to saying that right.
When did that guy play, or you don't know?
The 1961 through 1966.
Okay.
And so I'm looking at the list. I'm on StatMuse, and it's got like a list of all the, you know, the longest punter rushes, yeah, whatever. There's actually a few guys, especially back in the day, that were like punters, but they'd also like play on offense.
Yeah, sure.
So it was like, this is way rarer because this dude was just a punt trick play that went 68 yards.
That's crazy.
So Hodges wrote a book after playing about Jesus and playing football. Does the usual post-athlete career stuff. He runs some like sports training facility, whatever. But I'll tell you what would be cooler than a book about Jesus and football. A book about running the ball for 68 yards on a single play as a punter.
Hell yeah.
So that's my 68, the longest rush by a kicker or punter in NFL history, Reggie Hodges.
I like it.
Damn, it's a good one, right?
Can't believe you found that.
I know. I just typed in 68-yard touchdown and was like, this looks fun.
All right, let's round it out and talk about a former coach from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who won the Super Bowl in 2005.
Okay.
Also an excellent former player.
Ah.
Mr. Russ Grimm.
Russ Grimm.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me more.
Yeah, he played in high school. He played like normal. He played like four different positions.
Sure.
Quarterback, linebacker. He was also the punter. Kind of ironic. We just talked about
punters. Heavy punter episode.
He played at the University of Pittsburgh as a linebacker. Then somehow converted to offensive line.
And that's a weird conversion.
Yeah. And that's where he ended up playing most of his NFL career. But I think a lot of that had to do with his 4 years in college, where he went from 205 pounds to 270 pounds.
Let's go.
So I'm thinking that's probably why they moved him to the O-line. He was the center for Pittsburgh from 77 to 80. Sorry, not the University of Pittsburgh. Sorry.
Okay. Okay.
After college, he was drafted by the Redskins in the 81 NFL draft. I had never heard of this before, but you might. He was a founding member of the renowned Hogs offensive line.
Yeah, the Hogs. Fuck yeah. From those were 80s. Like those 90s or those 80s, 90s Washington.
Yeah, 80s and 90s. So he had 11 seasons with Redskins at starting guard and helped those Redskins to, what is this, four Super Bowl appearances and three victories?
Yeah, they beat Buffalo. They beat Denver. They beat someone else.
I can't remember, but he was always, a lot of people said he was one of the most complete football players that they've ever met. Or coach. He could play all the positions. He was a leader by example. Let's see. He did some crazy stuff like on the field too. One of the guys that he played with, Don Warren, a Washington tight end, one of his teammates, said that he was a chewer. So he dipped like all game, right?
Like Dan Marino.
Yeah. And he said that by halftime, he'd swallow the dip and then he'd throw up on people's shoes on the field.
What the fuck?
I don't know what that does, if that's like an intimidation tactic.
Gotta be. It sounds
really gross to me, but.
Oh my God.
He was also a big drinker. In college, someone said that they had like a party and they put a keg on ice, like, I don't know, somewhere, you know, in a central area. And they said that he just sat there with a 60-ounce pitcher and just pounded beers, like, all night and, like, didn't leave except to go to the bathroom.
So you're saying he sucked to hang out with?
Yeah, probably.
Right?
Yeah. But after he retired as a player, he returned to the Redskins as, I don't know why, but a tight end coach. And an offensive line coach.
That one makes more sense.
I don't know, but and then he was actually considered for a Chicago Bears head coaching job in 2004 when the Bears fired Dick Duran.
Okay.
But he obviously never got the job.
Lovey, baby.
It went for Lovey, yeah.
Let's go.
And so he was a part of the offensive line coach later in Pittsburgh. Where I said earlier, he won the 2005 Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
And then again, when Bill Cowher resigned in 2007, he was again announced as one of the candidates for the job. But then it went to
Tomlin, right?
Yeah, Wisenhunt and Tomlin, yeah.
Yeah.
He was just an interesting guy in his early years.
I would not want to fucking party with that guy. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. That's Mr. Russ Grimm.
Yeah, that's like, I can imagine throwing a party.
68.
That dude is the guy that like, he pays $5 for a cup for your keg. And you're just like, well, we lost money on this keg.
Yeah, right.
Terrible. There's no second keg that night until he leaves. All right. So those are our 68s. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to actually try to become millionaires one more time And then we'll talk about our some preseason rankings. So we will be back shortly.
The story of one man who overcame all odds to change the fate of the world.
Hey, dude, you want to join my fantasy football league?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Awesome. I'll send your key card and authorization code over in a bit here.
Key card?
Now that you joined the league, I'm here to tell you why you're really here. Terrorists are trying to secretly hijack the Scott Fishbowl and use the winnings to fund Russian spies. You're here to beat them.
What? Isn't that a charity league?
Maybe if you're Vladimir Putin.
In a world where fantasy is reality, one man is Agent 00RB. The Russians are back, and this time, it's personal.
They just took Josh Jacobs. It's too late for us.
Don't count your chickens before they hatch, Chief. I'm about to draft Breece Hall. Starring Waleed Ismail as Agent 00RB. Yippee-ki-yay, Michael Florio. Tony Martin as Commissioner Gordon. Melvin Gordon, that is.
Zero, watch out!
Katie Steele as Agent Mapletron.
Our intel suggests if you pass on a QB here, the Russians will take Justin Fields with their next pick.
Say what you will about their politics, those Russians sure know how to evaluate talent at quarterback. And introducing Ryan Edgecombe, the best friend that will die but give good advice before he goes.
Pop, I've got the black lung. Whatever. Whatever you do, don't sleep on George Pickens.
Coming soon to theaters, Agent 00RB from TH Fantasy Studios.
And we're back.
Hell yeah, we're back. We're going to do one last Millie Maker of the year. We're going to go out with a bang. And so now that we're back, we're going to go back into the Decision Bot 42,420, 69,000. And we'll see you on the other side. So let's hop in there now. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep, beep. So, Ryan, tell us about the team that we built that's going to make us millionaires this week.
All right. So, we're pairing Mahomes with Kelsey. We're kind of thinking the strategy is that Mahomes is going to be low-owned because of his injury, but we're taking a risk on the chance that he balls out. We're going Samaje Perine because with our Mahomes and Kelsey strategy, we're thinking Cincinnati's going to be playing from behind. They're going to have to check down a lot, and P. Ryan's become part of the passing offense.
Yep.
We're going Pacheco. We're going T. Higgins. We're going Brandon Ayuk. We're going the Philly defense, and we're going double tight end and also playing Goddard, which I think is great because those two guys are Kelsey and Goddard are integral parts of their both offenses. So
I agree. So Mahomes, Pacheco, Perine, Higgins, Devonta Smith, Brandon Ayuk, Travis Kelsey, Dallas Goddard, and the Eagles. All right. So Ryan, now we're gonna do a bit here to end the show, and I don't want us to feel like we're ragging on PFF. This is just us trying to get better by looking at some preseason rankings compared to some final finishes to kind of look at what was it that people were missing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. And so I think we should do this for a couple different sites too, just to kind of get a good idea of valuations. So we're going to do PFF this week. And so this is from right around draft time. So this was September 3rd.
Okay.
And so we're going to point out some things that we felt were worth mentioning for whatever reason. So you ready?
Yeah.
All right. You go first.
All right. How about Jonathan Taylor?
Oof.
All right. The number one, like, running back. I got duped in one league, and it just so happened that I had the first pick, and I hate every time I have the first pick in fantasy drafts.
Yeah.
Because chances are whoever that star running back that you're going to grab gets injured, or just I just don't like the first pick. And of course I fell for the Jonathan Taylor myth this year. But I mean, how are we not supposed to see that? The guy had freaking, let's see, 332 rushes in 2021 for 1,800 and plus yards. Like,
yep.
That's just ridiculous. Of course he's going to be up there. Man, and he did almost 1,000 yards worse this year. Granted, he was out for like the last five or six games, but only
I don't know what it was about their refusal to give Jonathan Taylor the ball inside like the 5 yard line.
Think it's something internal.
I don't know.
A locker room thing.
It's one of those things. I've never heard anything about his character. And so like, it's weird that they would be that way. I felt like they wanted to use him as a decoy inside the five, which seems to me to be so stupid. Cause it's like, well, he's your best guy. Give him the fucking ball. Right.
That was really weird. And combine that with, you know, the head coaching change and Matt Ryan not being anything who he thought he would be. What a disappointment this year.
Yeah.
861 yards, less than 200 attempts.
Well, let's switch to one that was the opposite, right? Let's talk about a guy that was ranked as PFF's pre-draft RB24 and ended up as RB3, a guy by the name of Josh Jacobs.
Yes.
Josh Jacobs kicked ass this year, dude.
Yeah, and he went into that year with like a negative narrative too. Everyone's like, "Oh, it's his contract year. He's going to be somewhere else." And then they drafted
Zeus White.
Yeah, that's right. And like, well, everyone thought he was going to be the second coming, and turned out Josh Jacobs was like, "No, I want to get paid."
Do you remember? Yeah, so they declined his fifth year option, and then they played him in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, that's right.
And like, no starters play in that game. So everyone's like, oh, dude, Josh Jacobs, like, they're going to get rid of him. They don't want him. I think he was a league winner in the truest sense of like, to draft position. 1,600 yards rushing. He led the league in rushing.
Yeah.
He was second in the league in yards before contact. He had over 500 yards before contact. So he had some great blocking, but he was first in the league in yards after contact.
Ooh,
fucking Josh Jacobs.
Damn.
All right, Ryan, what do you got next?
Let's talk about someone the exact opposite of the spectrum of Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
Geno Smith.
Hey, hell yeah.
Everyone thought Seattle was going to be the freaking garbage team this year. They freaking made it to the playoffs.
Yep.
I cannot believe it. He ended up as the number five fantasy quarterback on the year. Like, you know, Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, Fields, I think was five or six. He was five. Oh yeah, Burrow too. He's up there with all those six crazy guys. I cannot believe that happened. What do you think it was? Like, I mean, we all know that he was kind of set up with Lockett and DK, but
I think Pete Carroll is not recognized for how good of an offensive scheme designer that he is.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that I don't really like Pete Carroll as a human being. He's like a weird 9/11 truther. and he's cool with like a bunch of weird fucked up assholes.
I didn't know any of that shit.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, because really, who cares? It's not really like the end of the world. But yeah, he needs his flowers. Like, we need to give him his kudos for being an excellent play caller. Like, Geno Smith, they didn't run nearly as much as of like the Russell Wilson style offense. It was more, I felt like it was more of a play action based, tight end focused attack. I just think that, yeah, Pete Carroll's a good offensive scheme designer. And yeah, like you said, certainly doesn't fucking hurt when you've got Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf as your wide receivers.
Yeah, I just didn't think that their season would transpire at all how it did.
Yeah, no shit, right? All right, I got one. Ready? PFF had this wide receiver as wide receiver 23. He ended as wide receiver 40. He goes by the name of Gabe Davis.
Okay.
I can't even blame PFF for this because, like, everyone was assuming that last year's playoffs was, like, his coming out party.
It was so ridiculous, the hype. And you and me talked about it in the offseason. We're like, this guy's not going to be that guy. He's not going to be. And sure enough, you know, he had some good plays and some good games. He had another 3-touchdown game, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure did. The
points were just so inconsistent, though, and it was hard to roster him, you know, in fantasy season long.
And let's also acknowledge that, like, Josh Allen did get hurt.
Yeah, that's true with that elbow thing, like, midway through the season, yeah.
And like, his numbers didn't drop very much, but, like, dude, he's a mid-range deep threat guy, and so those guys are boom and bust naturally. And dude, I'm going to be real with you, he ended wide receiver, but he had 7 touchdowns, so a lot of his weeks got saved because he scored.
That's true. He was targeted a lot in the end zone this year for some reason.
I mean, he's a contested ball monster. Like, he's good at that.
True.
All right, so give me your last guy. All right.
So let's talk about Chris Olave. Pretty good hype coming into the season, but no one really expected what he did. No one expected him to have a 1,000-yard season this year,
right?
Especially with Andy Dalton. And like I said on the last podcast, this guy had passes, 119 targets last year with Andy Dalton. If he had a halfway decent quarterback, he could have had, he could have had 200 targets maybe. I mean, that might be a little bit of a stretch, but 72 receptions for 1,042 yards on the season. Like, this guy's going to be freaking really good. I'm so excited to see what New Orleans does, or I'm really scared to see how they mess it up. With whoever they decide to go with quarterback next year.
Yeah.
But if he can do it with Dalton, I'm probably gonna grab him in a lot of leagues next year. At least I hope I can get him.
I think Chris Olave has been screwed. You know, the 3 finalists for Offensive Rookie of the Year are Garrett Wilson, Kenneth Walker, and Brock Purdy.
Wow, not even Drake London's in there?
I was thinking it should be Wilson, Ken Walker, and Chris Olave.
Yeah, I mean, Ken Walker, like, out of nowhere, just was like, hey, I'm good.
Yeah, no shit, right? Hey, you know what? Like I said, last year, he was my favorite rookie running back.
You were pretty high on him. But like we said, when we talked about Geno Smith, we weren't thinking this offense was going nowhere.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, so I've got a name that we've talked about and a guy that I fucking love, man. He was PFF's wide receiver 42 and ended the year as wide receiver 10. Devonta Smith.
Yeah, he always gets overshadowed because of A.J. Brown's presence. But what did he? Hadn't he gotten like 10 or more targets the last how many games? 5 games? Yeah, 6 games?
He's all over the place. So last year, one of the stats that I was huge on was Quarterbacks that run as much as Hurts, Lamar, Lance, Fields, Josh Allen tend to skew towards only having like one viable receiving option in fantasy.
Okay.
Like they can only support like one top 24 finish usually, except for like Josh Allen, who can do it with multiple, right?
Sure.
So I think Jalen Hurts this year did the Josh Allen thing, right? Because like AJ Brown, wide receiver 7. Devonta Smith, wide receiver 10. Dallas Goedert played 12 games. So I did, instead of total fantasy points, I did points per game for Dallas Goedert. Tight end 5.
Damn.
Yeah. So Jalen Hurts, not only Miles Sanders crushed. You know what I mean? Like, this whole offense was just killing it.
It'd be nice to see them win the Super Bowl. But yeah, I don't think the NFC is going to beat the AFC this year.
No. So I will say, next season in rookie draft, or not in rookie drafts, in redraft drafts before the season starts, I'm going to tell you right now, when people are picking Jalen Waddle and T. Higgins, I'm taking Devonta Smith, bro.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Well, obviously Brown's there for a while. What's Smith's contract like?
Well, he's a rookie. Well, this is his second year, so he was a first round pick. He's got three more years.
Yeah, he'll probably renegotiate in year 4, but
I mean, I think that he is one of the most underrated players in the league right now. You know, like, especially from a fantasy standpoint. I mean, people will catch on. By the time people are drafted next year, they'll be like, this dude's wide receiver 10. He's going to be a major steal in round 3.
Yeah, right.
Like, you're probably going to have to reach for Devonta Smith next year, but I'm willing to pay those prices.
Yeah, I tried to get him. He was someone that was like not on my radar at all this year until he started breaking out.
And so by that
time, it's too late.
So right, exactly. Yeah, Devonta Smith is fucking awesome. And do you remember in our Dynasty startup, not last summer, but the summer before in our startup draft, I took Devonta Smith over T. Higgins, and they laughed, Ryan. Damn. They laughed.
Who's laughing now?
Yeah, that was my Joker redemption moment. Not so funny now, is it? So that's 68, Ryan. That's 68. Yeah.
Good 68.
That's a good 68. We'll move on to 69. Can we make a pact right now? Are you going to do Jared Allen?
I don't have to.
Either we both do Jared Allen or neither of us do Jared Allen.
We'll talk about it later this week. You know me. I'm not going to pick anyone that's like crazy good. I like looking at the lives of like these other players nobody really knows about.
Yeah, that's way more fun. So yeah, that's 68. We'll see you next week for 69. It'll be our break in between games. And so we've only got 3 games left in the season.
Oh, when's the Pro Bowl that weekend, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So we'll have some, maybe we'll do some pre-Pro Bowl scouting.
We can talk some Pro Bowl. Nice.
Yeah. Like, who's, maybe they should have like a FanDuel tournament for the.
Oh, I wish that would be flag so
football. Cool.
Yeah, or like skills competition, like on like the sports book, like who does the best at whatever.
Yeah, that would be sick. What team wins the like kick tic tac toe?
Ooh,
maybe we should just make side bets.
Yeah, we can do that. We can look at some shit.
Yeah, you know what? That's what we'll do next week. We'll come up with some prop bets for the Pro Bowl.
Nice.
Yeah, hell yeah. All right, well, thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys next week for episode 69.
Yeah. Happy 68, everyone. And yeah. Let's see. Who's your prediction for this week? Who's going to the Super Bowl, Tony?
I think we are going to see Philadelphia.
Okay, I like that. I have Philly going.
And Kansas City.
Ooh, I have Cincy.
I know. I actually bet on Cincy. I did like a little 2-game parlay and I took Cincy, but I'm starting to think like, I don't know. It's starting to hit different now. I'm starting to be like, I don't know. Kind of see Kansas City taking it.
I know. I'm digging the new narrative where like Patrick Patrick Mahomes wins the AFC Championship on a broken foot. You know, like, yeah. How crazy would that be?
We are watching Patrick Mahomes in adversity, and I think he's good enough to just whoop ass.
Yeah. He's going to have to show how he does it.
So who do you got? You got Philly and Cincy?
Cincy. And you got Kansas City.
Yep. Well, we can all agree, no San Francisco.
Yeah. This is the week of the Purdy implosion.
R.I.P. Brock Purdy.
All right, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Also called Hollywood Bags.